every person who makes lace, their tension changes. They'll skip a stitch here or there, or they'll do one differently, or they'll make a change in the pattern from one repeat to the next. Then you know it's the real thing.
I can see the passion in Ulla Nielsen's eyes when she speaks about bobbin lace. She started making the delicate fabric more than 30 years ago.
At that time, there was no internet, and there wasn't anybody here that I knew that made bobbin lace. So the first few years were tough because the resources were so limited.
But Nielsen was determined to learn. She turned to books, spending hours poring over pages as she learned about the techniques used to make lace.
Now with the internet, with YouTube, the lessons that you can learn online, you have to watch the fingers and the hands and the threads. And yes, you can do it with a teacher. And if you're working one-on-one with a teacher, you can say, can you do that for me again? But if you're in a class with 10 people, that gets difficult. But on YouTube, you can go, oh, I want to see that again. And you see it again. And you can watch it 5 or 6 or a dozen times, as many as you need to learn what you need to learn. And the patterns are there. And the sharing is there.
Nielsen says with all of the resources a lace maker could ever want now available at the touch of a button, the future of handmade lace is looking bright.
I think there's hope. That's the most important thing. And there are people that are playing with bobbin lace, they're playing with threads. As long as they keep playing with it and there's new stuff happening. If bobbin lace stays static, the way that it was always done, then it's gone. There are enough new ideas there that I think it'll continue.
She's optimistic that the art form will make a revival and that she'll see more pieces of lace around full of tiny imperfections, proof that they are the real thing. In Saskatoon, I'm Brittany Caffey.